So he says here in 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. See, there were young believers. But he says, I can't talk to you about the deep things of God. He said, listen, I've fed you with milk and not with meat. In other words, he could say Jesus loves you, but they couldn't take much more than that. You know, folks, listen. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For as ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying, strife, division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Paul said, I have to talk to you like little babies and not as grown-ups. That's what he's talking about to this church of believers in the Lord. And I want to talk with you today a little bit by living faith. Living faith. And it seems like a lot of Christian people don't understand we're to live by faith. And they don't understand what living by faith is. And so we want to talk about that today with you. Corinth had been rebuilt by Julius Caesar in A.D. 46. It was a wealthy commercial center with every type of religious cult a society could bring into it. Whatever the people wanted, they had it there. Sounds like today's society, don't it? You know, our leaders shouldn't give people what they want. Our leaders should give you what is good for us, what's right. Not what you want, because what you want could be bad for you. And today we've got what we want, and look at our country's gone to hell. And that's the truth, because we've got what we want by our leaders. And that's not right. A leader's not supposed to do that. So Paul says, listen, you're believers, but you're not growing. You know, next year at this time, if that little one over there is the same size, she's not growing. They would think something's wrong with her, wouldn't we? And as believers, we're to grow. We're to mature. We're not to remain knowing so little about the Lord and how to live for the Lord. Back in that day, easy women roamed the streets and sin was everywhere in Corinth. It was at Corinth that the Apostle Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and a wife that loved the Lord and were serving the Lord and working for the Lord there in the synagogue. And Paul often worked with Aquila and Priscilla, making tents. Paul did like I did most of my ministry. He worked and preached. He worked and preached. Nothing wrong with that, is there? He had to support himself. On the Sabbath day, Paul would go down to the synagogue where he would reason with the Jews concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometime later, about A.D. 54, Paul is writing to this church at Corinth. And he says, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal. What does carnal mean? It means you're worldly. You're not spiritual. You're believers, but you're immature. You're not growing in the Lord. You're not living like the Lord wants you to live. That's carnal. You're living by your flesh. I just didn't feel like it today. Oh, I don't think I'm qualified to do that. You know, as believers, we're supposed to love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. And now we all don't do the same thing. God uses us in different capacities. But the point is, we're to be used. We're to be used. Living by faith is not living by the way I think or by what I feel like. But living by faith means by living by God's Word. What does the Word say? That's what you're to live by, not what you think or how you feel. What does the Bible say? I don't know. Why don't you know? Because you're carnal. You're not studying. You're not growing. That's what's the problem. That's what he's telling them. That's what we got to tell people today. I'll be telling this on the radio when I record it tomorrow. And television, Lord willing, next Saturday. Our country's in the mess it's in today because the Christian people are carnal. They're not growing. They're not doing what the Bible says. That's the problem. So, we live by what God's Word said. Nothing more, nothing less. Now the question is, how do you live? How you live it? The Holy Scripture says in Hebrews 10:38, the just, that's the saved, are to live by faith. What's living by faith? By the Bible. You live by the Bible. So you got to read the Bible. You got to study the Bible. You got to hear the Bible. So you know what to do. How to live. If you don't, you'll be living by the flesh. How you feel. When it says the just shall live by faith, it's talking to those who've been saved. It's not talking to unsaved people. It's not talking to religious people. It's talking only to the saved people. Live by faith. We're to live by what the Bible says. Not necessarily what I say. It's what the Bible says. Amen. I'm supposed to be telling you what the Bible says. That's why so many of us got into trouble before we took being saved serious. And I'm talking about myself. Because when I got saved, you know, I thought I was saved. I didn't need to go to church no more. I've been saved now. Why should I go to church? I'm saved. See, that's the way I thought. Linda, you laugh. That's all right. I bet you thought some of that too, maybe. Yeah. We were living like we wanted to and not taking living for the Lord as serious as we should. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven now. So, you know, I can just drift along. That's not right, folks. No, when you got saved, you didn't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the Lord now, and you're to serve the Lord now. Do what he says now, not what you want now. Because you're to live by faith now. You're a new person, as Johnny in our lesson taught us today. We're a new person in Christ. You don't belong to yourself. You're to live for him. You arrange your life for Him. This is why we have to know what the Bible says if we're to live by faith. If you don't know what the Bible says, you're not going to do a very good job living by faith. You got to spend time in it. You got to believe it. So it's important that we study our Bible, that we attend Sunday school, the worship hour, and Bible study, and prayer meeting. Why, preacher? Because it helps you to grow when you take it in. It helps you mature. It helps you become what God wants you to be. What's God want me to be, preacher? Like Jesus. We're supposed to be becoming like Jesus. I'm a long ways off, and I go to all the services, brother. And I'm a long ways off, and I go to all the services. And if you don't go to services, are you further off? We're supposed to get like Jesus, folks. This is why we're spiritual babes in the Lord when we fail to do so. We're spiritual babes. That's what Paul was dealing with at Corinth. That's the way it is with Christians today. We're just like them. We need to grow. We need to mature in order to become spiritual, minded believers in the Lord. This is a great problem with many Christians today. This is why there are so many kinds of different churches today. I cut on the radio. No, I didn't. That car Faye bought, that SUV, when you cut it on, it automatically the radio come on, and it, you can't make it not come on. At least I can't find out a way to. It'll automatically come on, and this minister was on, and he was going 90 miles an hour a while ago, and then he went to talking. He would have said he was talking in tongues, but I know he weren't. He was just making a racket. That's why you got all this kind of mess out there on the radio and in the churches today. It's not the Word of God. You're to teach people so they can understand. Not go 90 miles an hour and they don't know what they've said. That ain't preaching. I call that a racket. When Jesus and Paul and the disciples talked, they talked in a voice people could understand what they were saying. Just because someone talks fast, whoops and hollers is no sign they're teaching or preaching God's word. We need to learn that what Jesus has done for us by dying upon the cross. Have you thought about it, what Jesus has did for you? Boy, our Sunday school lesson this morning was so good. Every word of those verses was so rich with meaning and so needed. We're a new person, folks, when you get saved. You're a new person. You're no longer the same sinner. Now you're to live different. I'm to live different. My wonder got changed when I committed myself to the Lord. Well, I've been saved a long time, but it was a long time before I got committed to the Lord. Y'all understand English? I bet y'all were the same way. I hope you're not still the same way. Get committed. Be committed. It won't kill you. At least it hadn't yet. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. We need to learn what we are to do for Jesus because He saved us. What are we doing for Jesus now that he saved us, church? What are we doing? The problem with believers at Corinth was they were a church of spiritual babes, a whole church of them. And the Apostle Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians to write and instruct them into the Lord. Those are two great books in the Bible, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And it's to a carnal, worldly church of believers. They're saved. And they were living in all kind of sin. All kind of sin was in the church. It is today. It is today. And that's why the churches aren't accomplishing anything. Listen to me. As believers, we're saved by faith, and we are to live by faith, believing God's word. And listen what James said in James 2:14. You ought to write this down. James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith? Though you say you're saved and have not worked, you got anything to show you're saved? James said, do you have any evidence that you're saved? Can faith save him? That's James 2:14. Boy, what James said there, that verse. Now, someone's saying they have faith does not mean they have Bible faith. You can say, I got faith. That don't mean you got Bible faith. Faith does not save. Did you know that? Faith don't save you. Y'all listening to me? It's not faith that saves you. It's who your faith is in. It's who your faith's in. Yeah, that's right too. Yeah, thank you. Now, how much faith do we have in Jesus? How much faith do you have in Jesus? I need all the help I can get, church. How much faith have you got in Jesus? Are you trusting him to make a way for you? I want you to think about this today. We're going to face some trying times, church, and that's the reason I'm preaching this message today. We're going to face some hard times. You better have and be grounded in faith in Jesus Christ, not in just faith. You need to be close to the Lord in these days that's coming. You have enough faith to partly obey him or fully obey him? Or are you somewhere in between? If we really have faith in Jesus, there should be evidence by the way we live, by the way we obey. If you've got real faith, there's going to be evidence, church. There's going to be evidence in your life. People's going to see it because it's going to be right there for everybody to see. This is where we determine our rewards or lose the rewards for how faithful we serve the Lord and obey the Lord. And I've told you a million times, seems like, when you get saved, you're saved. You don't get saved but one time. The Lord never saves but one time. He gives you eternal life. But after that, it's up to you if you're going to get any rewards. You're going to get rewards by being obedient, by living by faith. Are y'all listening to me? See, a lot of church folks just may walk up to the judgment seat of Christ And the Lord said, oh, you don't have no rewards. You didn't do nothing for me. I saved you, but you didn't do nothing. It's serious. What are we doing that honors and pleases the Lord with our lives, church? What are we doing? Are we godly husbands? Are we godly wives? Are we raising up our children to know the Lord and serve the Lord? Are we faithful in what God has given us to do, be it a housewife? Are you a faithful housewife? Or a retired person? I love to hear Charles Stanley. He gets on that a lot. These people that's gone to Florida and wherever to retire. Christians shouldn't retire. As far as serving the Lord, that's what I'm talking about now. Even if you retire a job, that's fine. But keep serving the Lord. That's a good time to do more for the Lord. Amen? You got free time. You got free time. If we're on a job for someone, you working for someone, give them your best. The Lord said give. The Lord wants you to give your best. The Lord gave His best. He gave His all. We're to serve our employers with our best, not take short corners or slumber the job. Be on time. Be faithful. All that's going to determine your rewards and pleasing the Lord. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Are we witnessing for the Lord to other people? Sharing the Lord with other people? The way we live our lives reveals whether or not we're serving the Lord. We're supposed to be living to please the Lord because of what He did for me. He saved my soul from hell. Just think about the people that since I sit down here in this church this day, and you sit down in this church today, the people that's fell into hell. And you sit down in church to hear the good news that kept you out of hell. But people's falling into hell while we're sitting here worshiping the Lord. You know what? You could have been one of them. Every one of us could have been one of them. I praise God. He saved me. And every one of us, if we're honest, we didn't want to get saved. We wanted to live our life. But we got convicted. We heard one of those songs in church like we sang a while ago that's so inviting to come to the Lord. And we were persuaded. Oh, I believe somebody back there in the prayer room a while ago said something about King Agrippa. I believe Brother Chavis mentioned him. King Agrippa almost got saved. He lied to got saved, but he didn't. Isn't that sad? Yeah. Almost got saved, but he didn't. Yeah. The way we live our life reveals whether or not we're serving the Lord and we're supposed to be pleasing Him. James 2:17 said, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If you don't have something to prove it, you got a dead faith. Whew! Did you hear that? That's what the Word of God said. So James says, if we do not have works, our faith is dead. I often hear people say, I've got great faith. Everybody's got faith, folks. Everybody's got faith. Have you ever ate at a restaurant? You ate that food by faith that it'd be all right. That's faith. You ate it because you believe it'd be all right. Eat it. Yeah. That's one form of faith. There's no salvation in it, though. Not in that faith. You get in your car and you ride down the road thinking no one's going to run over you. That's faith. You're exercising faith. You better have something. Amen. Yeah. Every day, every one of us is living by faith. But it does not mean we have faith in Jesus as our Savior because you got faith. You're sitting on that pew today by faith. You didn't check that pew out before you sat down. Thank God it hadn't failed yet. Amen. Jesus is our Savior because we have faith. We put our faith in Him. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Only a real committed trust and faith in Jesus as our Savior will provide saving faith. And that's important. James 2:20 says this, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead, James said. Got to have works to back up your claim. Got to have works to back up your claim. You could say, I got $1 million in the bank. You could say that. But if somebody went down to the bank and asked about it, we don't even have him as a depositor. Amen. Amen. That's what it do with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. James reminds us being a church member, being baptized, does not give anyone salvation. You've got to be saved by trusting faith, resting in Jesus as your Savior, knowing you're lost, knowing you're a sinner, knowing you need forgiveness. And you come to Him and ask Him to save you. And then when He does, you start living for Him by faith. Living by the Word of God. Living by the Word of God. When someone asks Jesus to be their Savior, they're to put their trust in Him and commit to follow Him because they believe in Him. We just don't go get our name on the church roll and go home and forget about it like a lot of folks have done. Church rolls are full of people on the church roll. They never darken the doors of the church nor support the work of the church. That's sad. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house, Paul and Silas said, when they were in prison to the guard, when the doors opened up. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But when you're saved, you're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And to serve Him with all of our hearts. We're to be growing in the Lord. Even faith in God does not give salvation. Let me say that again. I want you to get this. Because there's a lot of deceived people about this. You can believe in God, but there's no salvation in it. There's no salvation in believing in God. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one that paid for the sin. He's the one that laid his life down. And God says, you got to believe in my Son. And you have to come to the Son and accept him for what he's did for you. And then the Son will tell the Father, that's one of that I've saved. And the Father will then accept you. Isn't that awesome? You believe that, brother? Amen. Well, say amen. Don't be ashamed. Yeah, I believe that. Jesus is the Savior. And God's accepting those that accept his Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him the Son, would have everlasting life. Yes. Yeah. Many people think the believing God means they'll be saved, but let me give you a scripture to back that up furthermore. In James 2:19, James wrote, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. You believe there's a God? That's good. There is a God. We've got a lot of atheists today don't believe there's a God, but there still is. Just because they don't think there's one, don't dismiss him. He is. But James said, thou, you do well to believe there's a God, but even the demons also believe and tremble. But hey, because the demons believe in God didn't save the demons, does it? You got to believe in Jesus to be saved. And I want to make that point clear. The Bible is clear, even the demons believe there's a God, and they are fearful of him, because they know they're doomed and they're going to be sent to the lake of fire and brimstone one day. They know that. Yes. No one can go straight to God. You have to go through Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man, the Bible says. He is the one who suffered and died and paid for the sins of the world upon the cross of Calvary. And God is honoring and accepting all who will accept his Son as their Savior. So Paul says, I cannot speak to you Christians here at Corinth as unto spiritual people. I'm having to talk to you as carnal, worldly, even as babes in Christ. So he had to just more or less tiptoe along with those believers, because the church was full of sin. There was all kinds of things going on in that church. They were believers, but they were dishonoring the Lord, disobeying the Lord, and were not growing in the Lord. And that's not the way it's supposed to be with us. No, we're supposed to be growing, maturing. And as you do, you'll love the Lord more. And you'll enjoy the Lord. You'll enjoy the Lord. And you want to serve him more and do more for him when you do. When you become spiritual. When you commit yourself to do to believe the Bible and live by the Bible. The Apostle Paul had to speak to them about their sin before he could teach them about the great doctrines of faith, because they were still babes in the Lord and they couldn't understand about being spiritual and being mature. They were just so caught up with their carnality, their worldliness that they were engaged in a corrupt city of sin. In our Bible, we'll hear the terms, and we talk about the terms sanctification, justification, predestination, reconciliation, atonement, substitution, glorification, incarnation. These and other terms many believers don't know what they mean or what we're talking about. And you can't talk to them about it. But why? They're carnal. They're worldly. You know what a carnal person wants? God loves me. And God's going to watch out for me. That's the way carnality is. Spiritual-minded people want to serve the Lord. They want to do something for the Lord. Why? Because the Lord done something for me. He saved me. He made me a new person. He's going to let me live with Him. Think about that. I'm going to get to live with the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Did you know my position in heaven is going to determine on my spirituality while I'm here? Amen? Johnny, when you were on the police force, there was some in there that didn't even have no stripes, wasn't on their badge, on their arm. Then there was some of them there had stripes, right? And some of them had other insignias. Rank. We're going to be in heaven with rank. And I'm not talking about under the arms either. Amen? Yeah. In other words, being saved involves more than trusting Jesus as your Savior. We're to work out this salvation, Paul said. You're supposed to work your salvation out. That don't mean you earn your salvation. No, he's not talking about that. Listen to Philippians 2:12. Man, what a great scripture. Wherefore, my beloved, listen to what loving terms is addressed to Christians, my beloved. As ye have always obeyed, talking about the church at Philippi, they were living different. Not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That salvation that's in your soul, that salvation you've been given as a gift, work it out. Let your life reflect what's inside of you, what's been given unto you, church. Let your little light shine. You remember that when we were children, we used to sing that at church in the children's choir. Let your little light shine. Amen? You got a little light, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. As Christians, we're to let it shine. Work out your salvation. Now, I'm not saying be obnoxious. Did I say that right? Thank you. We're not to be obnoxious. You're to use wisdom in witnessing. There's a way to do it. I'm still trying to learn it myself. But we're to work out our salvation. We're to share it with others. And it's to be seen on our job, whatever our job is, by the way we live our life there. Yeah. As Christian believers and members of Christ's church, we have responsibilities. You're a member of the church. If you've been saved, you're a member of Christ's church. And you're supposed to be in a local church, supporting that church with your time, support, and your talents. Just as much as any other person. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. And don't you remember what the Lord said in His Word? Don't you forsake going to church? He says that. You're supposed to be in church. And on the first day of the week, you're supposed to bring your love offerings. Y'all listening to me? I'm just telling you what the Word says. We're responsible with our time, our money, and our prayers for the work of the Lord. God ordained the church as the body of Christ. The church is Christ's body in the world, doing Christ's work. If you've been saved, you're a part of it, and you're to be involved in it. Let me tell you something. Are y'all listening? Don't you miss what I'm just fixed to tell you. Jesus does not have any part-time Christian positions. Do I need to say that again? Jesus don't have any part-time jobs, church. You can't be a part-time Christian, in other words. Amen? Hey, that's an original. Being a Christian is a full-time position. Amen? What we read, watch, say, or do is to reflect and honor the Lord. Full circle, church. We're living by faith. Living by faith, what's that mean, preacher? What did you say that meant? It means living by what this book says. What does this book say? You got to get in and find out. Amen? Boy, wouldn't you be something if you've never been in a car before and you got in the car to drive it. Boy, you'd be something going down the road, wouldn't you? If you got it to going down the road. Hey, you got to get in this book. You got to spend time in this book. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, listen to this, abstain from all appearance of evil. Hey, abstain from all appearance. Be careful. When I go to the grocery store, listen to me. When I go to the grocery store, I try to avoid going down the counter that's got the beer and the wine. I don't want to be seen close to that junk. Abstain from all appearance of evil, church. And I'm in closing, and I'm asking you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. And I wish you'd read that whole chapter when you get home. Ephesians chapter 4, because what a chapter. But I want you to look down at verse 29 right now. We're going to share in closing several verses. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch what you say. You know, I never heard my mama and daddy ever use a bad word. Not one time. I don't use bad words either. I say shucks. Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And listen to this next statement Paul writes to the Christians. This is the Christian people. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When you got saved, you were sealed. God put his brand on you with the day you got saved. Now, since that time, we're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. How do I grieve the Holy Spirit? Disobeying him. Living like you want to live. That grieves the Holy Spirit. That's inside of us. Yeah. Whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Clean up your act, he said to the church there at Ephesus. And be ye kind to one another. Don't you like to be around people that's kind and nice and don't talk about you till you're back? Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Even as Christ, for Christ's sake, hath he forgiven you, folks. Living by faith is a lifestyle. It's the only acceptable lifestyle with Christ is approval. The goal of living by faith is for us to become more like Jesus. So we got to work on it. We got to work on it. We're going to fall short, sure. But you work on it. You work on it. And so let's do that. Let's do our best for the Lord. So that when we are brought into his presence, we can see the smile on his face and hear him say the most wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." And that's why I'm here today, to preach, live by faith. To challenge you, live by faith. You see, if you do what I say, you'll be praising the Lord not only in these following days, but especially when you see him, that you were encouraged to live for the Lord, because it'll be the best thing for your life now and forever. Loving God, thank you for letting me preach one more time. Lord, you give me freedom today. Bless this congregation of believers, these little ones, Lord. Let your word find its way into their hearts and into their lives, that they might know the wonderful grace of God and the love of God in Jesus our Savior. Have your will and way, as we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.